Hallelujah.
Nay Eloheinu melech haolam.
Asher natan lanu
erech haYeshua Mashiach Yeshua.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Where you dwell in the place where your glory resides, I
shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord thy Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Shamru vene Israel et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-do tamburino lam Vishamru vene Israel et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-do tamburino lam B'nai, O B'nai, B'nai Israel, B'nai Israel, O hi ilolam. Vishamru, B'nai Israel, Let ha-shabbat, Laso et ha-shabbat, Ledo tamburin dolam. Ki keshet amin, asa Adonai, asa Adonai, ishmayim viharet. Vishamru, v'nei Yisrael, le'et ha-shabbat, laso et ha-shabbat, le'do tamburin dolam. Uvenei yom hashi, shavatni nafash, shavatni nafash, shavatni nafash. Beshamru, venei Israel, le'et ha-shabbat, laso et ha-shabbat, le'do tamburin dolam. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant.
It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem.
You can pray now.
Thank you, Father. Let us bow our heads and intercede for Jerusalem. Lord, we come in obedience to your word, and because you've put your love for Jerusalem in our hearts. Oh, ask, Father, that your angels would surround Jerusalem with protection and with salvation and deliverance. We thank you, Father, that in just a few coming days, Father, the American embassy and several other nations will be bringing their embassies to Jerusalem, your capital, the capital you ordained for Israel. And Father, that at last there'll be recognition of that. And we've heard the threats of the enemy that they plan to attack and harass. But I thank you, you've promised your covenant people that no weapon formed against them would prosper, and that every tongue that would rise up against them in judgment would be condemned and shown to be in the wrong. And Father, we just thank you right now that you are opening the eyes of your people there in Jerusalem and Israel to know who the Prince of Peace is, that they may know that Messiah Yeshua is the true Lord of Peace. He is their shalom. And we ask you, Lord, that your hand, your spirit, would just begin to reveal. Let the curtains be moved back off of their eyes. Let there be an unveiling that they may recognize and know who he is. Lord, and hasten the day when again all will come fleeing and running to Jerusalem to worship and to glorify you and to submit themselves to the lordship of Yeshua. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, we're going to count the Omer. We only got five sheaves out there, but today is the sixth week. Just a quick little commentary on it. In temple times, the first fruits and the counting of the Omer was as follows. It was done on the morrow after the Shabbat. They were to reap the harvest and then bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. The priest would wave the sheaf before God, therefore following the counting of the 7 weeks from the day it was brought. The law enjoined that no fruit was to be gathered from newly planted fruit trees for the first 3 years, and that the first fruits of the fourth year will be consecrated unto the Lord. That's from Leviticus 19. The counting of the Omer was a great time of anticipation. This counting is comparable to that of a slave or prisoner who counts the days to his freedom with great excitement. When one counts to a particular event or time, it demonstrates how deeply he wants to reach that point. So today it's the sixth weeks. So we will count the Omer this morning. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Asher Kitzanu B'Mitzvotav B'Tzivanu Al Sefirot HaYomer. And today, of course, is 42 days, which is Hayom, Shaim, Be'arba'im, Yom, Shaim, Shisha, Shavuot, La'omer. Today is 42 days, which are 6 weeks in the counting of the Omer. God bless the counting of the Omer.
Melech Hosea, Mashiach, come again. Baruch atah Adonai, Baruch atah Adonai, Melech Hosam. Baruch atah Adonai, Baruch atah Adonai, Yogin Abraham. O King, Redeemer, Savior, and Mashiach. King, Redeemer, O Savior, and Shield. Blessed art thou, blessed art thou, Shield of Abraham. Blessed art thou, blessed art thou, Shield of Abraham. Oh, you are the mighty one forever, O Lord. You are the mighty one. To save, you raise the dead, sleeping in their graves. You are mighty to save.
Hallelujah.
Stand for, remain standing for the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malhuto Leolam Vayed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontless between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Okay, we're going to have the Torah procession. David, would you and Greg come and get the remove the Torah?
Mikamoka Belim Adonai, Mikamoka Nedar Bar Kodesh
Adonai,
Mikamoka Nedar Bar Kodesh. Like thee,
The answer to that ancient question, Ein kamoka valim Adonai valim kamasek ka malkut ka malkukor u'amin u'mashikah v'ko dor v'dor Adonai melech Adonai melech Adonai imlok le'olam ba'ed Adonai oz le'amo yiritain Adonai v'rech et demo v'ashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And the Torah can proceed.
Other men would like to carry the Torah, just line up in the front. When they go around, you can grab it from them.
Ine matovu manai, shevet tagim gam yahar. Ine matovu manai, shevet tagim gam yahar. Ine sharing the heat from Yaha. Ine mato, sharing the heat from Yaha. Ine mato, manai, sharing the heat from Yaha. Ine mato, manai, sharing the heat from Yaha.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, to dwell in unity. La 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 la. Unity, to dwell in unity. Hey, la 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 la.
Oh, he named my toe, my knife, share.
Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. And thank you, Lord. You're good. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua.
Vahiven soarom vaya Moshe kunra Adonai viavutsu oveka viavutsu sempaneka mikaneka ki mitzion teitse Torah ki mitzion teitse Torah udavar Adonai miyerushalayim. Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah. Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah. Le'amo Israel, Pidushato. And when the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people, Israel.
Amen. You may rest the Torah. Yep, we just slide over here. Yeah.
Yamod Asher ben Zedekiah. La Torah, Barku Adonai Hamvara, Baruch Adonai Hamvara, Leoam Vaed, Baruch Adonai Hamvara, Leoam Vaed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bamakanu Mikol Atamin, Nenatan Lano Et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai, Notain Ma Torah, Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated this morning. There's a double portion of the Torah this morning, or two parashahs, maybe I should say. And I think the bulletin, I think we're off a week in the bulletin. I think it says Bukatala, which is today's Torah portion. But I've got them here. Let me get to it here this morning. Give me a second here. Okay. We've got two parashahs this morning, Bahar and Bukata, and that means regulations. Bahar means on the mount, and we're still in Leviticus. This is the last part of Leviticus 25 through 27, concludes Leviticus. And we see this morning that Bahar means on the mount. It's talking about Mount Sinai. You know, it's interesting. I looked at Mount Sinai. It's only mentioned one other time in the Bible, and I thought that was interesting. It wasn't a holy place. It's just a place that God chose to give the Israelites the Torah. You see, in if you look in the book of Kings, you will find that's where Elijah fled to, was a cave in Horeb, which was Mount Sinai, because Jezebel was chasing him. And basically, God says, get out of here. This is not where you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be in this cave hiding. And that's where we saw where God, you know, was at Mount Sinai was a place of great drama, because not only when after we counted the Omer, when they reached the 50 days, there was great drama there, because the Torah was given and the mountain came up off the ground. Now that must have been a sight to see the whole mountain raise up, because in some of my readings, a lot of the sages say that when God came, everything on the earth stopped. Even the water quit rolling in the streams and the oceans. The birds did not sing. The animals made no noise, because God was on the earth. Nothing, there was no noise, because God was about to speak. And the Israelites saw it, and the mountain came up. It was a place of great trauma. And we see in Elijah's day, the other time, it was also a place, because God, if he found out, God wasn't in the lightning and the storm and the earthquakes, but he was the small voice
that whisper in his ear. And God basically said, this isn't where you're supposed to be, Elijah. Go out. Go from this place. So Sinai wasn't a holy place. It really was just a place that God did two great things there. And he moved Elijah away from there. And we see today that God gives Moses the regulations, which was the second part of this Torah portion. He gave him the mitzvahs pertaining to the sabbatical year. And that's the seventh year. I can remember as a little boy, my parents had a farm, and I imagine it was a seventh year because once every so often they wouldn't plant that year. They wouldn't plow it. There was no planting. Everything just, and that's the way it was in the scriptures. The seventh year was the Shemitah. It was the year that there was no work to be done. They didn't plant, and they did not harvest. There was nothing. What grew naturally from the prior year was left for whoever wanted it could partake of it. It was free, so to speak. It was free. The animals could come eat. You could walk by and get what you wanted. But the owners of the property could not harvest it because it was a Shemitah year. 7 years, and then on the seventh year, you could not. But, you know, God gave them an increase in the prior years to make up for the year that they did not plant. So that is why God did that. It was an instruction for them. Because we see today God keeps his promises, and we will enjoy his prosperity, and we will live in the promised land. But God also has a harsh rebuke for the Israelites. If you don't follow my instructions to you, then you will be in exile, you will be persecuted, and evil will befall you. And we see that's what happened. As the Jewish nation, the Jewish people were dispersed to every country, every continent in the whole world. And that's in chapter 26, verse 11 and 12. You see, the promise of a dwelling place, God says, I will make a dwelling among you, which is talking about inside your body, and my soul will not reject you. It's referring to Yeshua. These are promises of the Messianic kingdom that's coming. And so God says every 50 years, that's seven Shemitah cycles, just like we're counting the 7 weeks of the Shomer, of the Omer, that also is a number seven, and it's seven Shemitah cycles, which is 49 years. And on the 50th year, it's declared a Yovel. And that means Yovel means restoration. It means to restore. Debts are forgiven. The land was returned to the original owners, so it was like an inheritance coming back to you. It may have been sold several times, but in the year of Yovel, it went back to the original people. God gave it back. It was proclaimed by the sound of the shofars, just like on Yom Tuwah and Yom Kippur. There's a sound of the shofar. It's like the return of Yeshua that we see in Leviticus 25. The sound of the ram's horn on the seventh month and on the tenth day. Each portion tells us how much our life has changed. As you study the Torah, you'll see how much the world has changed. I listened to a sort of a video, I guess you could call it. I don't know if he's a Baptist or not. And I didn't listen to the whole thing. I heard enough that I didn't want to listen to anymore. But I want to say they were in Florida. He was pastor of the Community Life Church. But he was saying that the Bible, God's word, is very antiquated. He says it doesn't really pertain to us today. He says we need to follow what Jesus said in the New Testament, and that's to love everybody and accept everybody just like they are. There's no use of changing, just to love them and accept them. He said, that's what I've done. I don't teach or preach from the Bible anymore. I teach from my heart about love and all of that. And so that was pretty much where I did the flip on it. And I wish I'd have got the name of the church, but they had lost a lot of members as they basically have taken the Bible out, just like the state of California. I don't know if they passed that law to get rid of religious writings, but the day is coming, and I think it's already here, that if you speak God's word, you're going to be ostracized. You're going to be, and like I tell people at work, they're going to get the Jewish people on Saturday, and you Christians, they're going to come for you on Sunday, because that day is really here right now. It's just a matter of a couple of laws being passed, and you won't be able to speak Yeshua's name in public or praying. Well, you can't pray in public anyway, but I mean, you will be ostracized. They will come and get you because you will be classified a hate monger, because this guy was saying the Bible was anti-woman, it was pro-slavery, it was homophobic, and he just kept going on and on and on. But that was enough for me. But it's telling you how the world, and there's people, he has a full church, so it's not like one or two people coming. He has a large church there where his church is at. So you can see dark times are already here. In the end of time, it's just, I know I study some with the rabbis electronically, and they're always saying we can hear the footsteps of the Messiah. He's coming. So they are looking forward to that day when he's going to come, and they're going to build that temple. We've got Jerusalem, now the capital, and the next thing I believe is going to take place is God is going to permit the Jewish people and the people of the world to build the third temple. That will be a tremendous sign that Yeshua's coming, because the third temple has got to be in place when he comes. So look forward to that. It's coming. But, you know, we can't, the Torah this morning, just to close and not linger with it, but it says we're not to conform to this world, but we are be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's in Romans. So we will know what God wants for us, which is good. It will be satisfying, and you will be successful. I think personally, when you study God's word and make it a habit in your life, you become a lot smarter in the things around you. I think it gives you intelligence that you don't get from a textbook. Not that the people that get all the degrees and things are not intelligent people, but I think God gives you an intelligence that comes from him that you can use in your life, in your business, and in your life. It's something extra by studying his word. It will grow up in you, and you will be smarter, really more intelligent. We stand, I think, today at the crossroads, and we look at ancient past, and that scripture says in Jeremiah, which is the right one? But you will find the right one, and when you find the right path, it will be rest for your soul. Your soul will rest. Colossians 3:2, just to close, it says, set your mind upon, not upon earthly things, but set your mind upon things from heaven, because this is where God is at in the days coming, very shortly, that he will once again part the eastern sky and we will be with him. Shabbat shalom. Okay. Would you stand and we'll close the Torah. Vizod HaTorah Asher Shamoshe Lifnei B'nei Israel Opiodonai Biad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands.
Mosim kiba the Torah taker Merushar Derakei Hai Dareinu Al Bekotivoteha Shalom Ashiveinu Adonai Elecha Venashu
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen.
Now we're going to do worship, right?
I guess.
We'll take up the offering.
Okay, we're going to take up the offering.
Yes.
Okay, let's pray, and we will give you an opportunity to bring your tithes and offerings. Two baskets and a box. The first basket is for spare change to help people in need. It goes to the MJA, and it goes to Israel to help everyone over there. The little round basket, is the building fund. If you can help there and put something in that will be appreciated. Helps us keep the building going and repairs on the building. So this morning, let's, as you bring, get prepared to do that, and we will ask God to bless us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Shabbat, and may we truly enter in, Lord, to a time of rest and to rest and worship you today, Heavenly Father. We ask that you will bless the gifts that are being brought this morning, Lord. Bless the giver who's giving those, Lord. We ask that you give them a good measure, and may their cups run over, a good measure pressed down and shaken together, Heavenly Father. For it's in Yeshua's name that we pray. Amen.
Turn it up in the monitor.
Praise
for
him
me.
With the shofar.
I want to hear Dawn.
Praise him with your hands. All right, raise up your hands. Let's see your hands. Praise him with the harp. Who's got a harp?
Thank you.
people, sing praises to the Lord Adonai.
Sing praises to the Lord.
Sing praises, all you people. Sing praises to the Lord Adonai.
Sing praises to the Lord.
Sing praises, all you people. Sing praises to the Lord Adonai.
Hallelujah.
It's Adonai.
Wish you had a palm branch in your hand. I can feel it.
I will talk to my brothers about the my brothers about the
God, my Father.
Together we'll sing His praises, and together we will sing His praises. Hallelujah. And together we will sing His praises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I will talk to my brothers about Thy Yeshua. Together we sing His praises. I will talk to my brothers about my Yeshua. Together we sing His praises. And together we will sing His praises. Hallelujah. And together we will sing His praises. Hallelujah. 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 We will sing His praises, hallelujah. And together we will sing His praises, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Give Him praise.
Hallelujah. We'll sing His praises together. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Are you excited about Him? He is good. Amen. He is the master of our universe.
He is the Hatov Shimcha.
He's the rock of our lives.
He's the Holy One of Israel.
Amen. He's the shield of our salvation.
Yes, hallelujah. Well, I can't top that.
And He is the Good Shepherd. Amen. Yes, yes, hallelujah. Amen. Let's thank Him for shepherding us and keeping us like His little lambs. Amen.
Master of the universe, Hatov Shimcha, the Holy One who grants us His goodness. We gratefully acknowledge You in worship and in praise. In all our ways, may Your name be Shalom, Magen Yesheinu. Shem come, the Holy One who grants us His goodness. We gratefully acknowledge You in worship and in praise. In all our ways, may Your name be blessed. Our God, our lives, Zuchayenu, all that we have is from You. Shem of our salvation, Magen Yeshenu,
music, even though they wasn't here, but on tape. It's amazing, all this electronic stuff, just like they were here. Okay, this morning we're going to go to the Shekinah and the table of the Lord, and this morning Diane and David are going to serve us. So we're going to have a couple here, okay, husband and wife. So this morning, Pastor Bowers, you'd like to tell us about then, I'll do the prayer about the table. Now, you know, when you wanted to pray for Joe's family, I'll leave that up to you whenever you feel like doing it.
God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church there at Corinth, says, "For I received from the Lord that which also I have delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup, New Testament, in My blood. This is done, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes.'" In remembering what Jesus did, we're not only remembering His suffering, but we're remembering the benefit we have through His suffering, what His suffering was for. It was not just that we might remember an event, but that we might remember that we've been given by faith in Yeshua a covenant with God, a covenant for healing in our bodies, healing in our minds, healing in our spirits, that we might have our sins completely forgiven. In the old covenant, the blood of bulls and goats only moved sin ahead a year, and then there had to be another offering every year and again until the time when the true Lamb of God came, Yeshua, and shed His blood once and for all and for all. "Whosoever will, let them come and take of the water of life freely." That's what Jesus did for each one of us. He wants us to remember that. He wants us to remember that covenant is important to Him. Covenant in marriage is important to God. Covenant among us as brothers and sisters is important to God. Oh, how we need to remember we have a covenant with each other that dictates how we ought to treat each other. That's what we're doing when we partake of this. We're remembering not only that we have a covenant with our God, we have a covenant with His people, with one another. And that guides us in how we treat each other, what our attitude is about each other. That we truly allow when our brother or sister has a need, it becomes our need. If our brother and sister is being exalted or being blessed, we rejoice in that because we're all one together because of this covenant. Amen? Hallelujah. And then, yes, above all, we look back to the God, our Heavenly Father, who blessed us by sending Yeshua. that he would die for each one of us, taking our sins and our sickness and our pain, according to Isaiah 53:4, and bearing it away for us so we would not have to have it. It was never in the plan of God when he first created Adam and Eve that man would ever fall into sin, that man would come into slavery, that man would be in bondage to sickness or poverty or lack. All those are a part of the curse of the law that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. And it says that Christ has redeemed us from that curse. And if you study it out, it covers just about everything you can imagine, from insanity, blindness, joint pain, inflammation, poverty, lack, bondages. It just goes on and on. It covers everything. But thank God the blessing that Yeshua purchased for us also covers everything. So now as we prepare to come to the table of the Lord, let's remember our covenant with God. Let's remember what Yeshua did for us and what he's expecting from us, being covenant partners with him and with each other.
Good words. And Yeshua took the cup and he blessed it. Brukatana and I will hang you melech olam, borei pori hagafin. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. He took the bread and he blessed it and he said, Brukatana and I will hang you melech olam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And Yeshua came forth, the bread of life. Amen. You can come as you're ready. Okay, this morning we have a guest speaker, Pastor Ed Bowers. He's no stranger here. Him and his wife come quite often, so he's always welcome here. If he's just riding by, he shows up. That's great. One other thing I want to make an announcement on is the 20th of May, we're going to have Shavuot. I believe, is that right, Diane? 20th?
Yes.
Okay, next week, and I'm sure we'll get more information about the service time. I'm going to say 6 or 7 o'clock, but I'm not sure. But the rabbi will let us know next Shabbat when they get back. And there'll be some announcements, I'm sure, sent out during the week. So this morning we want to welcome Pastor Ed to the pulpit, to the Bema, to give us what God's got for us today from him. Welcome. And also one other thing is he's coming. We're going to have an offering for him at the end of the service this morning. So just to let you know that.
Anthony. God bless you. Well, Shabbat Shalom. Let's get in unity on the count of three. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Amen. How good and how pleasant when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. Amen. Before we get into the message today in the Word of God, I just want to share with you that last night Rabbi Joe called. He always does when I'm going to come and preach, and he blessed me and released the anointing to flow as we minister the Word of God to you today. But then he also shared that his mother Harriet is not doing well at all, and she had notified the children that this coming Thursday she wanted to do a telephone conference with all of them and set forth her desires for them, speak blessings over their future, and more or less let them know what her desires were for her funeral. Now, as Brother Anthony and I were talking this morning, she may live many, many more years, but in her heart it seems like she's preparing for death. And Rabbi Joe asked that we would pray for two things, particularly. Number one, and most importantly, his mother does not know Yeshua as her Savior. So we need to pray that the eyes of her understanding would be enlightened. And she would come to realize that the waiting is over. Messiah has come.
Yes.
And receive him. And then secondly, and when we're praying for her, by the way, let's pray for the Holy Spirit to do a work in her life. You know, the Holy Spirit draws people. That's a part of his ministry, is to draw people. And the Holy Spirit needs to draw Harriet. And let's pray that any and all wrong ideas and wrong teachings that she's heard would be put away from her, and that the light of the truth of Yeshua would shine unto her, that she could be saved. And then secondly, Rabbi Joe shared with me that there's been a lot of tension among the siblings. And he, you know, this is a time when the family needs to be in unity, needs to be in unity all the time. So let's take that. I don't know why I keep coming back to this day, but the Lord does. But that also has application for us in the body of Messiah, Yeshua, that we don't just wait till some tragedy comes to try to get in unity, but that we get in unity now and we live in unity. It's in the place of unity where the Lord pours out his blessings. It's in the place of unity where the Holy Spirit is released in his power. On the day of Pentecost, when they were in one mind and one accord, they were in unity. You know, if you have ever tried, I don't know why I'm sharing this, Anthony, but God does. But if you've ever tried to start a charcoal fire, you got to get all the charcoal briquettes together in a pile. You can't start one if they're all scattered out. You get them in a pile and you get the fire going and they get red. Then you spread them, okay, to take the heat evenly distributed. And the same thing, I think, has application for the body of Yeshua. So, you know, this would just be a wonderful time. As we come and we've remembered the covenant that we have with Yeshua, this would be a wonderful time for us to think, if there's someone in our mind or in our heart and we've got something against them, what a wonderful time to release them, to let them go. And we want to pray that for Harriet's family, for Rabbi Joe's brothers and sisters, that they would be in unity and they would not hold ill will towards each other. It's amazing how when there comes a time of death, or death is approaching a loved one, people begin to think about inheritance. They begin to think about what they're going to get. And it's easy to forget that it's not about what you're going to get. It's about what somebody's given in their life. And so we want to remember them in prayer. So would you unite your heart with me right now, and let's pray. Father, we come into your throne with boldness and confidence because you said we could, to make our petitions and our requests known to you and to find grace for help, Lord, in the time of need. And there is a need in Harriet's life, that, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would simply roll back the mist of deception and darkness. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not. So we thank you right now that that power of darkness and deception is being moved back, and that Harriet can recognize that Yeshua has come. The waiting is over. Thank you, Father, and that she will receive Yeshua. Father, that she'll not allow traditions, she'll not allow her concerns about what the rest of the family might think or what anyone else would think. She would realize this is a decision between her and Yeshua and you, Father. I thank you for it. We bind every hindering spirit. I thank you, Father. We bind the mouths of those who would come in, Father, to tell her not to pay any attention to the words that Rabbi Joe and others have been speaking to Harriet. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you that before she leaves this world, she will put her faith and trust in Messiah and Yeshua. And then, Father, we lift up the family, Lord, the siblings, Father, that in the name of Jesus, Father, they might come together in unity, that they might allow the Holy Spirit to do his work of unifying them, laying aside their differences, laying aside their petty disagreements, oh God, to focus on that is necessary and that is important. And fathers, we remember and pray for the family, believing you to do a work of unifying in them. We understand from your word that unity is a work of the Holy Spirit. Your word teaches us we ought to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So the Holy Spirit wants to produce unity. That's a part of his mission, his ministry. Do that, Lord. Do that there in their lives. We ask you to do it this morning in our lives. Lord, the unity would not just be a word, a religious term, some religious cliche that we use, but rather be something that from our hearts we allow the Holy Spirit to weld us together and make us one. In Yeshua's name, amen. I'm not preaching from this morning, but I just want to share this with you before we get into the word. If you just take a moment and look in John's Gospel, chapter 17. And starting in verse 20, and we'll read through verse 23. You know, I thought these verses were to be some way interwoven into the message, but I understand now that the Lord wants to speak a word to us before the message. So I guess in a sense you're going to get two messages rolled up into one. Amen. But I promise I'll try not to tarry. This is Yeshua speaking, and he's praying to the Father. It's been called his high priestly prayer. He's in intercession as the high priest for the believers. He says, I do not pray for these alone, talking about his disciples that were there with him, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. Through their ministry of the disciples, we have received the truth about Yeshua, and we have believed. So he's praying for us, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they also may be one just as we are, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Wow. God loves us just as much as he loves Yeshua. Amen. And in some ways he loves us more, because he was willing to allow Yeshua to bear our sins and our guilt and our sickness and our disease and our mental anguish and our poverty and all the curses of the law fell on Yeshua, because Father God didn't want us to have them. That's the heart of our God. Now, if God loved us that way, we must love one another that way. Amen. Being one is not just a doctrinal statement. being one is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we allow Him to, as we give Him free reign. That's message number one. Let's look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, obviously, and he says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Well, I'll tell you what, it takes the work of the Holy Spirit when you're just continuously giving thanks for somebody. Somebody's made an impression in your heart, in your life, when you're just always thanking God for them. Amen? And yet that's what the Apostle Paul says he feels for the church there at Ephesus, the believers there. And this, then he says, this is what he's praying. And this prayer is a prayer that I would encourage every one of you to embrace and pray for yourselves and pray over your family. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation," or the spirit of revelation, "in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, at which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet," under Yeshua's feet, "and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." We're getting ready to come to the Feast of Pentecost. Not just remembering the Feast of Pentecost as it was in the Old Testament, but remembering the significance that the Lord gave it in the New Testament. When the day of Pentecost had fully come in Acts chapter 2, and they were all gathered together, and the power of the Holy Spirit descended upon them. And the Holy Spirit has many different names or titles by which He is known and functions. He's the Spirit of Truth. In John 16 and verse 13, Jesus said, "When He, the Spirit of Truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth and all righteousness." He's the Spirit of Peace, and there's many, many others. But I want us to look at these two that the Apostle Paul mentions this morning, the Spirit of Wisdom and the Spirit of Revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, wisdom is the ability to act properly on the knowledge that's been given to you. So really, if you put this in order, we would need the Spirit of Revelation first, so we have revelation knowledge of who Yeshua is, and then the wisdom of God to know what to do with that knowledge, because knowledge is never given to us just to be something we collect, or so that we can write a book, or so that we can make a tape or whatever, but it's rather something that is to impact and change us. Amen? It's to make a difference in our life. Truth is given to us to make a difference in our life. Truth and the Word are one and the same. Amen? Truth and the Word are one and the same. Jesus said He was the way, the truth, and the life. And in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word," or the truth, "and the truth was with God, and the truth was God." Verse 14 says, "And the Word," the truth, "became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as He who is filled with grace and truth." So Jesus is the living Word. He's the living truth. Okay? And this living truth is given to us to change us, to make a difference in our life. In fact, there's three things that this Spirit of Revelation is desirous in our life. There's three works He wants to do that Paul mentions. First of all, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened by this spirit of revelation. The Holy Spirit wants to bring enlightenment to your mind and to my mind. Why? That you may know what is the hope of his calling. That's the first thing, that we might know the hope of his calling. Then the second thing is, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And then three, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Three things that the Holy Spirit of revelation wants to do in us, wants to reveal to us, wants to show to us. And I want us to look at each one of these three things this morning. The first one that the Apostle Paul talks about is there in verse 18, that when the eyes of our understanding are lightened, we may know what is the hope of his calling. We have a calling that is unto hope. Amen. We should never, as believers, be walking around in despair and in discouragement, because we have hope. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got hope. Oh, I believe you can do better than that. Try one more time. Look at him and say it like you mean it. I've got hope. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, if we have hope in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. But I think the reverse could easily be said. If you've only got hope in heaven someday, you're going to be very miserable while you're down here. Yeshua died so that we might have hope in this life and in the life of the world to come. Amen. Hallelujah. So, what is this hope to which we've been called to? The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 27, he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, we get different ideas about what glory is sometimes, depending on what your religious background is and your religious teaching and where you've, what you've been taught. A lot of people think glory is some emotion, some feeling, and the glory of God can certainly stimulate feelings and emotions. I'm not saying it won't. It certainly does. But it's more than just a feeling, because you can get a feeling in church. Come on. Anybody ever done this? You got a feeling in church, and before you got home, you'd lost the good feeling? The glory of the Lord touched you in church, and before you got out of the parking lot, somebody cut in front of you, and you lost it all. I can tell there's somebody in here that's been experiencing that, because they laughed. You know, if you just sit there and smile, nobody will ever know whether it's you or not. But I'm glad. Hey, it happens. We have a ways to go in our understanding about the hope of his calling. Amen? Amen. So, the Apostle Paul wrote again to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Let's just look there for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul says, but we all with unveiled faces... It's been in Christ Jesus, the veil's been taken away so that the light of the glory of Christ can shine forth unto us. Okay? That's what Paul talked about in the preceding verses. So he says, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, the glory of Christ being revealed to us. Why? Not just so that we may look at his glory and marvel and stand in awe. We ought to do that. We should be in awe of the glory of the Lord and who he is, who the resurrected Yeshua is today. Amen? But it's more than that. It has a direct correlation to us. Because Paul goes on and says, the glory of the Lord, let me just start back at the beginning. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being changed. Being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord's at work, revealing our hope in Yeshua of being just like him. And that's the glory he's talking about. We're coming to an ever-increasing clear understanding of who he is, but not just who he is, but who we are. Now, I may get a little radical for you today, but I believe if Rabbi was here today, he would agree with what I'm teaching you. I know he would. You see, that when you were born again, Yeshua was formed in you. He was birthing your spirit man. In fact, if you look in the book of Galatians, chapter 4 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Paul says, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again, until Christ is formed in you." In other words, Paul is saying, Christ was formed in you, and you got messed up. You allowed some people to come along and put some doubts in your mind, and you began to get off track. And now I'm laboring in prayer and intercession and in travail for you until Christ is formed in you again, and you have a clear understanding of who He is and who you are in Him. You see, the problem that the Galatians had, these young believers, some people come to them and told them that they had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And so when you begin to take the law and make it your means for salvation, you're always going to get messed up. Keeping the law will never get you born again. Keeping the law will never make you righteous enough to please God. In fact, what's clearly taught by the Apostle Paul about the law was we couldn't keep it. It was a teacher to bring us to an awareness that we needed a power beyond our own self to be able to do what the law says. Amen? Come on. It's all right to say amen. In fact, it helps me get done quicker. Hey, okay. There you're a little slow this morning, but you'll catch up. So we allow the truth to bring us to reality that we cannot do anything, including keeping the law, to save ourselves. Our salvation is a gift from God, not of works. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, not of works lest any man should boast. Okay? But my point that I want to get out of this verse is the fact that when you're born again, Christ is formed in you. He's formed inside your spirit, man. There is a winner on the inside of you. Now, when the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 that we read a minute ago, when he used that word changed or transformed, it's the Greek word metamorpho. It's talking about what happens to the ugly caterpillar when it goes into this transformation and comes out a beautiful butterfly. And our problem many times why we're not able to enjoy the hope of His calling is because all we get focused on is what we see with our natural eyes. We're looking at life, and we're looking at us in our position in Yeshua based on how we see ourselves performing instead of looking on what has happened already in our life. The reality is this. When that caterpillar is transformed into the butterfly, it's not something new. The butterfly was inside of the cells and the DNA of the caterpillar all along. He was just waiting for the time of transformation when it would come forth as that butterfly. But he was there all the time. Well, the seed of Yeshua is in us. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 that you've been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. By the word of God that lives and abides forever. But it's not just the Logos that he's talking about. He's talking about being born again by the divine seed of Yeshua. The living word. Amen. The living word. When you accepted Jesus, the living word came into you and you came into him. In fact, look with me if you would in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at verse 13. This is talking about what happened when you received Yeshua. You were born again. How this happened. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Talking about the body of Yeshua. Hallelujah. We were baptized into the body of Yeshua. Whether Jews or Greeks, it doesn't matter, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of that same Spirit. So when you were born again, you were baptized into the body of Yeshua. It wasn't water baptism that put you there. It was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit's coming after this has already happened to give us a revelation, to give us an understanding of what this is all about. Why were you put into Yeshua? Why did we get put into His body? So that we might experience the fullness of who He is. The one upon whom Paul says we gaze and we marvel and we are transfixed as we see His image being revealed. It's not just so that we may stand in awe again of Him. We begin to realize, that's me. That's who you are. It's who I am in Yeshua. Now, we spend, if we're not careful, too much time looking at our mess-ups and our trip-ups and our failures and our flaws, but that's not where your focus needs to be. Those things are never going to produce faith in your life. Come on. You see, the Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It says that you hear the Word and you meditate on the Word, that faith to walk out the victorious life that we have in Christ becomes reality to you. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 57 said, thanks be to God. And I believe that's about the tone that the Apostle Paul used. It was a loud exclamation. Thanks be to God. You know, we come to church sometimes and we say, thanks be to God. Now, I know God can hear you whether you say it out loud or whether you say it softly. I know that. I know you don't have to scream to get God to hear you. I understand that. But I think some point in our life, as we begin to understand and get a clear revelation of who we are in Yeshua, I think we ought to begin to get a little bit excited. I mean, I don't think it's going to really upset God or the Holy Spirit if you get just a little excited. Amen? You know, when you touch a live wire, a live electrical wire, you'll get excited. You may begin to do some things you just normally would not do. I mean, I've yanked back kind of like that, you know, when I was... Well, a different kind of reaction. I've seen some people, they get all real strong current and they begin to tremble and shake. Well, you say, well, that's all right. I got a hold of power. Well, the Holy Spirit's power, Yeshua's power. What's wrong with getting excited that we've been transformed, put in His body, and He is living in us, hello, and that same DNA of Yeshua is now living inside of you, and He's transforming you. When my wife and I were missionaries in India for 11 and a half years, just about this time every year, in fact, I laid in bed, and I was thinking about it this morning, all these caterpillars would come out. You couldn't walk down the street unless you just really tiptoed without stepping on one. They were just everywhere. And, you know, you step on them, you'd hear them going crunch, and don't get grossed out. I'm just trying to be real here, okay? And then it dawned on me today, what a shame. There's so many Christians crawling around thinking they're still caterpillars, when in reality the beauty of Christ is in them, and they've got the ability to fly above the persecution and above the temptation and above the strife and above the sickness and the disease and above the lack. Hallelujah. Because of the power of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. He wants to reveal to you that Christ is in you, not only the hope of glory, but Christ is in you, the victory of God. God has given us the victory. You see, victory is not something you have to pray for. Victory is something you have to accept. I don't care what it is in your life you're striving, struggling with. Satan may use your anger. He may use a spirit of timidity and rejection. He may use a spirit of divisiveness, whatever it might be, to cause you to feel like you're not who you need to be. You're less than who you ought to be. Maybe you've yelled at your wife, or you've yelled at your husband, or you've yelled at your kids, or whatever might be. And the enemy immediately comes, the accuser of the brethren, to say, look at you, you're no good. You're just a dirty, ugly old worm. Squish, squish, squish. And we allow him to walk on top of us instead of us walking on top of him. Because we have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. And if everything is under Christ's feet, then we in Christ can say that it's also under our feet. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the second thing that the Apostle Paul prayed that the Spirit of revelation would do in our life. See, you can pray for people. You can pray for yourself. You can pray as the Apostle Paul did for others, that the Spirit of revelation would do this work in your life. Verse 18. It'd be verse 18 if I was in Ephesians instead of in Galatians. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You know, a lot of times we are so focused, and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying it's wrong, but there's got to, in our Christian life, we can't get imbalanced. You know, if you get imbalanced this way, you're going to walk around like this, right? And if you're imbalanced on this side, you're going to walk around like this, and the Lord wants us walking, standing up straight and tall. Amen? And so a lot of times we get so focused on what our inheritance is as believers that we fail to realize that according to what the Apostle Paul was saying, we need a revelation of what God's inheritance is in us. You see, he has put in you and in I many, many giftings and many talents that he wants to use for his glory and his honor. Hello. That he wants to use to benefit somebody else, help bring somebody else to a saving knowledge of Yeshua. Help bring healing to somebody who's in emotional need, whatever it might be. Be able to bless the body of Yeshua, the local assembly, the congregation, by doing a certain function in the church, in the body. And the tragedy is many people live their Christian lives and die, number one, never realize that they've got an inheritance God wants. Now, let me say this. The Lord, I'd never seen this before until I was studying to come. And while I was studying this portion of the teaching, the Holy Spirit has quickened in me. You know, inheritances never become realities till somebody dies. I mean, it wasn't until the testator, Jesus Christ, well, we go back to the Old Testament. It wasn't until the testator, Moses, died that the Old Testament really came into its fullest effect. He was the testator of the Old Testament. He was the one that God used to bring it into being and into existence. Then when Messiah came, he became the testator of a new and better covenant based on better promises, Hebrews 8 tells us. Amen? Are you with me still now? You still here? Good. Okay, so the same thing's true that when Christ died, there was an inheritance given to those who had put their faith and trust in Yeshua. But the other side of that is that you and I must die. Hello? We must be willing to die to our will and our desires and our ambitions and our feelings and our emotions and all these other things in order for God to get his inheritance out of us. Least we end up being like those that you can go to in the graveyard. Somebody asked the question one time. I remember I was in a service and this preacher said, "Where is the wealthiest place on planet Earth?" And people out in the congregation began to say Paris or Saudi Arabia because of the oil fields and different places. And he said, "Well, you're all wrong. The wealthiest place on planet Earth is the graveyard. Because that's where Christians were buried, still holding on to and still going to the grave with those visions and those abilities and those talents that were never released to make the rest of the body of Christ blessed and wealthy." Amen? Oh, me. That's, as one old preacher said, that's a good place to either say amen or say oh, me. Or laugh. Hallelujah. So what must we do with that? What must be our attitude about that? That, Lord, I must be willing to die. See, it's a part of being sanctified. And the Apostle Paul, let's go there just for a minute. In 1 Thessalonians, now my wife told me before I left to stay concise and precise and not wander all over the place. She's not here. Kathy sends her love. She wanted to be here. She just couldn't come. But she actually did. She said, stay, keep it tight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," Yeshua. The Apostle Paul was actually saying, "I'm praying for the God of peace to sanctify you completely." You're a three-part being, spirit, soul, body. The soul includes your mind, your will, your emotions. Now, from God's perspective, the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, put your faith in Yeshua, in His mind, you were set apart for Him. As the Apostle Paul puts it, you're no longer your own. That's God's perspective. Now, the reason why we need this spirit of revelation working in our life is so we catch up to God's mentality. We need to learn how to think things from God's perspective, not from the world's perspective. The world will tell you, you're your own person, do what you want to do, be what you want to be, it's your life, enjoy it. But that's not what the Bible tells us. Paul said, we've been bought with a price. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are Christ. It belongs to the Lord. Amen. So now God says, in His perspective, you're sanctified. But then there's our side. We all have free moral wills, don't we? We can do what we want to do. We can make decisions. And we've got to come to the place where we align our will with His will. And say, Lord, I agree with you. I am no longer the one to call the shots. You're the one to call the shots. It's not my decision whether or not I'm going to do what you've called me to do. It's not for me to say, well, I don't want to use my talent. I don't want to use my gifting. People don't appreciate me. You know, all the other little excuses and reasons we come up with. No, we must say, Lord, I belong. You bought me. You paid for me. And everything I've got is yours to command, to instruct, to place me in the body to function where you want me to be, to bring forth service to the body. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. This is all talking about this inheritance that God has a right to that's in you and I. This is His inheritance, but He'll never get it until we're willing to die. Is this saying anything? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. From whom the whole body, talking about Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effectual working by which every part does its share. You've got to share. You've got to share. You know, if you own stock, then you're a shareholder in the corporation. Well, you're a shareholder in the body of Yeshua. You've got stock in it. You've got vested interest in it. It's a part of you. You may not like people. There may be people that really rub you the wrong way, but nonetheless, if they have accepted Yeshua, they're a part of you, and you can't do anything about it. Amen. Thank you for that, amen. So he goes on to say, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The only way the body's ever going to grow is as the body learns how to release God's inheritance back to Him and function where you've been placed by the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. Amen? Glory to God. Last thing that the Apostle Paul said the spirit of revelation should reveal to us. And by the way, that word revelation simply means an unveiling. It's like if Brother Anthony was standing up here, but he was behind a curtain, and little bit by little bit, they began to raise the curtain. First you'd see his feet, and then his trousers, and so forth, till you could see all of him. And so little bit by little bit, we're seeing Jesus. The Holy Spirit of revelation is revealing Yeshua to us. And again, the reason he's revealing Yeshua is because in revealing Yeshua, he's revealing you. He's revealing me. He's revealing who we really are. And then the last thing he says is in verse 19 here, what is the exceeding greatness of his power, his dunamis, his dynamite, towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Yeshua Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Go down to verse 6. because this is how we understand that what happened to Yeshua and why it's so important that you have a revelation of the exaltation of the resurrected Yeshua is that you are part and parcel of that resurrection. When you accepted Christ as Savior, just as Christ was dead in the tomb and God raised him up by the power of the Spirit, in the very same way we were dead in trespasses and sins, weren't we? We were dead to God. We didn't have any life of God in us. But when we put our faith in Yeshua, that life of God came into us and we were resurrected spiritually. And verse 6 says, and raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, if you're in Christ, then if Christ is exalted, you're exalted. If he's seated at the right hand of the Father, that's where you are. If every principality and power and thing of dominion and every, the principle far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion, and every name that is named is under Christ, it's under you. Amen. In him. Thank you, sister. Under you. Now, you may have never heard this before. This is just what the Word of God says. And many times, unfortunately, as Brother Anthony was talking about this morning, I could not hardly believe, Brother Anthony, it was any church that called itself Christian that would put forth such a damnable doctrine as what you were sharing this morning. It makes a difference where you assemble. It makes a difference what congregation you go to. A church we attend in North Carolina puts it this way. It's a matter of life and death where you go. Amen. Come on. Amen. Listen, thank God. Yes, can we just thank the Lord for a minute? Thank God you're getting some truth. Thank God you're being shown who Yeshua is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, every day you get up on Shabbat, come to Shabbat service, you ought to be praising God. You can come someplace and hear truth. Why? Because that's where your freedom and your liberty's at. That's where your deliverance is at, is in the truth. Our problem is we always want to be comfortable. Look at somebody and say, I don't want to be comfortable anymore. Comfortable people fall asleep at the wheel and get in accidents. Come on. Comfortable people work on jobs and stick their hands in dangerous machinery and lose their arm or lose their life. It's only people who are alert that are safe. So every time Rabbi gets up and says something, or anybody else that comes in the congregation, and it did, you know, I'm not used to hearing this. Well, maybe you need to hear something new. You see, you can only do what you know, and you only know what you've been taught. So maybe we need to learn some new things so we can do some new things so we can have some new experiences. Where did that come from, Lord? It had to come from you. That wasn't what I planned to say at all. But the Lord's wanting you to understand that the whole purpose behind this is that the Christ life might be made manifest in you. So the Lord showed me something one day in prayer. We were getting close to time to celebrate the resurrection. And as I was meditating on it, somebody was on TV, Brother Anthony, and this preacher was talking about that he was going to take a tour to Israel and you could see the empty tomb and that was proof that Jesus was alive. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak on the inside of me, and he said, an empty tomb is not the greatest proof Jesus is alive. It's a life filled with Yeshua that is proof that he's alive. Amen. And that's where we come in. That's where we come in. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and I'm going to wrap this up. Well, I didn't realize it was that late. You need a bigger clock, or I need to set an alarm. I don't know. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus, the disciples had just asked Jesus if it was time for Israel to be restored, kingdom of Israel to be restored. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father's put in his own authority. There's some things we don't have to get our minds all messed up looking at, thinking, trying to figure out. That's not for you to be concerned about. He said, but it's a conjunction. And it means that there's a connection of the previous thought to a new thought. So on the one hand, you don't need to get your mind wrapped up in the times and seasons that are under God's control. He'll take care of it. But our business is to be thinking about this fact. Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the utter parts of the earth. And a lot of times when we think about the power of the Holy Spirit, we think about healings and miracles and deliverance and signs and wonders, and that's a part of it. And we need those things. Somebody said signs and wonders are the calling card of the Holy Spirit to call people to salvation. And that's true. But there's another part of this where we need the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives to help us be witnesses for Yeshua. You see, you can show people signs, miracles, and wonders, but if they look at your life and it's way out of alignment with Yeshua, it's like a blurred image to them. They read about what Yeshua was, his lifestyle, and they look at you, and your lifestyle is different, then they're going to see double. Come on. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to tell you what the Word says. He wants us to be united. Remember, we're supposed to be one with Yeshua and one with the Father so that there's no blurred image. God hates divisiveness. He hates division. He hates us having a double standard, the one we religiously talk to our friends about and then the ones in our personal life when we're blessing out the cashier because she shortchanged us. Or we're kicking the pump because it's not working properly or whatever else it might be. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit empowering us for service. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to make us true witnesses of Yeshua. You see, you're going to be a witness for Yeshua one way or the other. And I am too. If I acknowledge Yeshua, wherever I go, I'm being a witness for him. Good or bad, true or false, I'm witnessing for Yeshua. By my declaring that I know Yeshua and he's my Savior, I'm telling the Lord, this is how he is. And then if I'm not measuring up to his standard, if I'm not doing it his way, no wonder the world gets turned off to the church. No wonder the world thinks there's no relevance to the church. Come on. No wonder they think, I don't need to go to the synagogue. They haven't got anything for me. Then why go to the congregation? Why go with the people of God? They're all messed up. Amen. So here's my point. I'm closing on this. How many of you in here today have never received that baptism of the Holy Spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost? How many of you have never even known that you could ask for it? But in Luke's gospel, Jesus said, if your earthly sons ask you for a fish, you won't give them a serpent. If they ask of bread, you won't give them a stone. And then he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to you? Now, when you got born again, the Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ and took up residence in your life. But this is talking about not just being born again. This is talking about an empowerment to live the Christ life. Amen. To do what Paul talked about, so that the Holy Spirit of revelation could reveal who we are by seeing who he is and then allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us into that image. Amen. So real quick, if there's anybody here this morning you'd like to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, this dunamis power of God, I want to give you an opportunity to come forward right now. We're not going to pull you up. We're not going to pressure you. It's your decision. But you'll never be able to give accurate witness to the resurrection of Christ apart from the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in you. That's why the Apostle Paul said, if the same Spirit which raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, lives in you, resides in you, he will also quicken your mortal bodies. He'll make changes in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father, I've obeyed your voice today, Lord. I've shared what you gave us to share. And I realize sometimes, Father, your word can be radical. It requires radical change on our part because we are being transformed. We're being changed. We're going through that process from glory to glory. Not just to see something new about you, but to become something new in Yeshua. That his life will be manifested. I pray for this congregation, Lord. You've got so many great plans, not only for the individuals here, but for this congregation. And Lord, I just sense in my spirit you're saying for those great plans to become realities. Father, we need to yield ourselves. We need to commit ourselves to you. We need to say, Lord, I acknowledge that I am set apart for your service. I acknowledge that Yeshua resides in me, is formed inside of me, and that I can be and live out the Christ life. I can be in unison with Yeshua. I can be in unison with the Father. But also I can live in unison with my brother and my sister. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for your word. You said that you would send your word and it would heal. And you also said that when you sent your word, it would never return void. So, Father, your word had an assignment today. And by faith, I believe that assignment was fulfilled. In Yeshua's name, amen.
I'm always amazed what I wonder his messages are every time he comes. Thank you. They're always very timely. So we're going to give you an opportunity this morning to bless him with an offering. And I've set the basket up here. I don't know if you want to write a check. You may want to check with him and just see how he wants it made out. So we have Oneg. F-H-I on the check. If you want to write a check, F-H-I. If you'll arise, I'll pray the Kohanim blessing up on you this morning. This is the message that God gave to Moshe. He said, this is how you will instruct Aaron to bless, to say this prayer over his people. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yahu Adonai panav elecha v'kunika, Isa Adonai panav elecha v'yasim lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, our Savior. Amen. Be blessed this week. Blessed today. Shabbat shalom. Yeshua.